Burning Bridges with Margot.
Burned a lot of bridges.
Free Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com.
And to donate, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. That's RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge.
So you're listening to Burning Bridges with Margot, and I'm your fire starter, Margot with an X. And we have a very special guest. We have one of my favorite astrologers. She's a Kabbalistic astrologer. Her name is Rachel Swartz, and we're so lucky to have her because usually it's a 3-month wait to have her do your sign. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here tonight.
So I always ask everyone this question. Do you have an example of a bridge you thought you burned, but then it turned out to be the best thing that happened to you?
Oh my gosh, I have the craziest story about that. Like, I used to work in a bank in Israel when I first came out. You know, all the Israelis go to the Israeli army at some point. And after the army, I used to work in a bank. And I had an incident with one of the managers there, and they fired me. And nobody ever fired me in my life. And I was young, I was maybe 22 or 23 at that time. And I cried for 2 days. For 2 days, I went home, and I don't cry. I'm not a crier, you know? But for 2 days, I was crying about it. And I'm like, that could have been my future. And I could, now I could still be in a bank, stuck in a bank, you know? But because of the they fired me. And then I started spiritual search, and I studied things that I wanted. So that whole thing felt like such a curse at that point. I was crying you don't understand. But eventually it turned out to be the best thing ever, because that's where I am now. You know, I would still be in Israel in the bank if they didn't do it, you know?
So that's how you got started into astrology?
Yeah, I started into astrology through Kabbalah. I became a student in the Kabbalah Center in Israel. And then I never believed in astrology before, never. I never went to astrologers. It was never my thing. And when I started Kabbalah and I learned that it's also a part of Kabbalah astrology, I was starting to read a little bit about it, and I started seeing that it's really a science, you know? It's not just only people that are up in the air that do incense in the house, you know? And I started studying it very seriously. So the past 17 years, I'm really exploring into it and looking into it, and I'm meeting a lot of people and I'm doing their readings, and I really love it. And it's really, every time it proves itself to be really accurate. So that's why I do that. It really helps people.
So for those who don't know what Kabbalah is, what's the kind of short way to sum up?
Kabbalah is a system. It's a system that its purpose is to teach us how to receive more benefits in our life, more positive things in our lives. So a lot of times we have issues. We have issues with relationships, with health, God forbid, with business, with every person has their own issue. Kabbalah says basically that we are here in the world to receive. The word Kabbalah means receiving. And what we do when we learn Kabbalah, we learn actually how, you know, that sometimes in our lives we do certain things really the wrong way. Kabbalah gives you the manual, you know, when you buy something new, if you don't read the manual, you buy a new car now, right? The cars have so much in them right now. If I don't read the manual, I'm probably gonna do some things because I'm gonna figure them out. But if I don't have the manual, I'm not gonna really know how to work everything. And Kabbalah gives you the manual of how to live in this world, how to have better of everything.
I love Kabbalah. I really love the every challenge is an opportunity, and changing your reactions and earning more of the light. And I had an astrology reading with you, and I didn't even talk most of the time, you
know,
which is rare for me. But that's it was just really how you knew all this stuff, and it wasn't like you were asking me questions to find information.
No.
So sometimes you need to experience things to really understand them. So I'm sure everyone's heard of astrology and has read their sun signs, you know, in the paper or whatever. And maybe some people have a little more detailed knowledge of astrology. But what's the difference between Western astrology and Kabbalistic astrology?
There are a few things that are major that are different. First of all, Kabbalistic astrology does use a different calendar. We look at what we call the Kabbalistic calendar, which is, some people know it as the Jewish calendar, right? We look at the calendar that contains the two cycles, the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the sun. The Gregorian goes only by the sun. The Muslim goes only by the moon. The Kabbalistic calendar takes both and actually uses them to understand the person on a deeper level. So sometimes, even though maybe in some calendars, like you can be a Libra, in other calendars you can be a Scorpio. Kabbalistically, you would many times be a Scorpio if you were born at, you know, you were born relatively late in Libra. A lot of times you're going to have that energy. But you can't really be a sign that is much different, like much farther than your signs. Or if you're a Libra, you can be a Scorpio or a Virgo, but you can't be that many signs after. This is the main thing. Kabbalistic astrology uses the concept of tikkun, which is correction. We all came to this lifetime after previous lives, that some things we did were amazing, but some things were less. And we have what we could call a correction to make in this lifetime. So let's say that if you, I know, just know your chart, I have it in front of me, your chart shows that in a past life you really loved your freedom, you didn't want to make a commitment, you wanted just to be able to go as you want, where you want, and right? And you didn't do socializing and you didn't do communication so much, right? So one of the tikkuns or one of the purposes in this life is actually to communicate. So what you do very well. It's like a perfect job for you.
Well, I definitely don't like committing and I like my freedom. Yeah. So that's
right.
Still there.
You will have still the issues from past life. It's not, you know, when we look at people are like, oh my gosh, I'm like that now too. Yes, because we have it still. But the chart, the Kabbalistic chart, gives you an understanding of what you're here to change. It's not about, oh, you know, I mean, yes, we look at certain things that are, you know, Saturn is in this house, and whoever knows a little astrology knows transits, progression. We use that. But the majority of what we use it for is to understand where I need to transform. We don't use it as a reactive situation. I'm a passive person and the planets are going to tell me what to do. No, the planets give us an option, but we can be above the planets. We can be above the influence of the planets, which is a major thing that Kabbalah offers, you know?
How do you see, because you've told me some detailed things I was in past lives, like how do you see what people were in their past lives?
You can actually see everything is very, very like, there are planets in the chart and each planet has a job to do. And when you look at where the planet is, there are houses, there are aspects between the planets, there are houses that are related to past lives. So it's a little complicated to explain it, you know, on a radio show without the visual of it. But basically, there's so many details in the chart besides just, oh, I'm a Scorpio or I'm a Leo or I'm a Libra. There's so much more that we see and we can figure out by learning it, but what happened in past lives, what you were, what you did, you know, it's pretty, pretty clear in the chart.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting and I think maybe different from Western astrology, because it maybe sometimes will refer back to your past lives, but you can go back and you even know which past life it was.
Right, you can see that. You can see, and you have to understand that it's not just an exotic thing. Oh, I know that in a past life I was a nurse, or I know that in a past life I was an actress, you know? It's not about that. It's really about understanding my behavior that went wrong in past life. If I was a person that was a doctor and I wasn't compassionate to my to my patient, right? So in this lifetime, I need to work on compassion. I need to work on my arrogance, whatever the issue is really, it's a very, very transformative info. It's there just to tell you, you know, you always thought that when you date somebody, you have to like right away do certain things. And actually, it's just that you made those mistakes in past lives. Don't do that again. You understand? It's to give direction. It's a very, very powerful tool to do that.
So it's not just the sun sign. If people looked up their Kabbalistic, what their sun sign is, and it could be different.
Right.
So the sun tells one part of the story.
Right, right.
And then what does that tell? And then the rising sign. And
so
the
like you have your sun sign means in Kabbalah, we refer to the three column system. There, every person contains within them what we call the three columns. There is the right column, which is sharing, the left column, which is receiving, and the central column, which is the balance between the two. So Kabbalah explains that the ultimate way to live is to receive in order for you to share. So if I want to be very strong, very famous, make a lot of money, whatever my desire is, there's no problem with it. Kabbalah is about receiving, right? But if I really understand that I want to receive, but because I'm going to help people with it somehow, I'm going to do something to share my gifts, or I'm going to help share my knowledge, or whatever I want to get, as long as it's done for the sake of sharing, it's completely okay. And the three columns are also in the chart. So the sun represents the right column, which is the sharing, which is how I can share in the world, right? How I can give people my vitality, my energy. The moon represents my reactive nature. So it's like, you know, if somebody's moon is in a very reactive sign, they're gonna be short-fused, easy to be pissed off, you know? But if somebody has a moon that is like a Taurus, like you have a moon in Taurus, so as much as you're a Scorpio and you can be sometimes a little bit fiery, but emotionally you're very loyal, you have a slower reaction. You understand? When somebody pisses you off, I don't want to be around you, trust, because when you see red, I don't want to be in the area. But as a general thing, you can hold, you don't have that short fuse thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the central column, which is the rising, which is where the sun, where the horizon was, what sign was on the horizon at that moment of your birth, is the tools. It's the central column, is how you can combine both. How I can use, so for instance, if we're really looking at your chart, because that's what I have, we have your Taurus, which is the opposite of your Scorpio, right? It's like the Taurus is actually opposite on the wheel from the Scorpio. So if you really compare them, you're gonna say, yeah, the girl is very passionate and excited, but you know, if we combine, we use her reactive nature, which can be sometimes stubborn, right? But we use the Cancer. What is the Cancer rising? The Cancer rising is that in order for you to really utilize yourself the best and use your receiving and sharing the best way, you have to be nurturing, you have to be sensitive, you have to be compassionate, you have to be the nurturer of every situation, you know? So instead of being like a more masculine and no, to take time to nurture, you understand how mm-hmm. it works, and that's how you analyze every chart by the three column system. But again, it's like I don't want to confuse the listeners. It's a lot of details. Nobody expects anybody to be able to do it by themselves, but just to understand a little bit the differences, you know?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting and a easier way to kind of understand what the different houses do. Because in Western astrology, I think they talk about the moon is your emotional, kind of similar emotional, and then your rising is how people see you.
Right. It's true. I use that too. The beauty in Kabbalistic astrology is that you use the two systems. You don't just, so if you're a Scorpio in the Kabbalistic calendar and you're Libra in the Gregorian, we're not going to look at you only as a Scorpio. We're going to see that you still have the Libra. You still have the pleasing side. You still have the thing, the side of you that wants balance, right? The lack of decision, you know, the whole thing with making a decision. But you have the power of the Scorpio that you cannot like forget, like within you. You need to use the Scorpio, the strength, the leadership, the ability to make changes, the ability, yes, to make a commitment, because your other parts from past life didn't want to make commitments. The Scorpio is a committed sign. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a gift almost, a Kabbalistic birthday. Like, that's how I look at it. It's like the universe gave you something additional for you to use. And if you use it the right way, you can get more.
Well, I love for us to go over each of the signs. Okay. and you say something about them, because Scorpio has a negative connotation usually.
To the Scorpio. I always tell that story because it's so funny. You know, when I first started studying astrology, I told my dad is a Scorpio, so I called him and we talked, and I said, you know, I'm studying astrology. So he says to me, that's a bunch of bull, but Scorpio is the worst sign, right? And when I heard that Kabbalah is involving astrology, I'm like, I don't believe in that stuff. But Leo is the best sign, right? Yeah. That's the difference between Leo and Scorpio. But it's really Scorpios think about themselves very badly. But it's not. Look, Scorpio has the seed level of bringing redemption to the world. Like, not in the religious way, in the spiritual way, in the powerful way. Scorpios contain within them the power of transformation. The planet that rules Scorpio in the Kabbalistic astrology is Mars, but in the conventional it's Pluto. Pluto is a planet of breaking habits, breaking everything that doesn't need to stay the way it is. And yet Scorpios sometimes are in situations that have to clean some garbage and do things like that, but the Scorpio is a very powerful sign. If, you know, Scorpios have all kinds of levels, we don't have time to talk about all of them, but and the lowest is really the snake. The highest is the dove. The snake is like the negativity of the Scorpio. Yes, it's the dark, it's the manipulative, it's the controlling, the sexual in a negative way. But the dove is the peace. The dove is the sign of peace. If a Scorpio uses their power the right way, they can be people of peace. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in Kabbalistic astrology, we don't say, oh, tough, I'm a Pisces, so I'm going to have addictions now. No, we say I'm a Pisces, so I tend to escape things. And that's why I have to make sure that I don't go for the addiction part of me. You know what I mean? The astrology is not used to make us victims. Kabbalistic astrology is about empowerment. It's about telling you, you know, if you're Sagittarius and your nature is tactlessness, you need to pay attention to that. You have Sagittarius past life. That's why sometimes you can feel that you're tactless, right? So it's like if you're Sag and you're Sagittarius and you have that, work on it. Be careful with what you say. Be sensitive to the people around you. That's why also you have the Cancer as a tool for sensitivity. You understand? It's very, very important, not to fall into the I'm ruled by the planet. Our teacher, Rabbi Berg, you know, used to say that it's not that the planets that we are born under are ruling us. It's that what we did in past lives and what we are here to do rules the planet. It means that I choose to be born at the same day, at the same time, at the same second, because the planets are here to give me the picture of what I need to do. It's not because right now Saturn was here or Pluto was here or Uranus was here, so I had to be influenced like that. No, in Kabbalah we say we need to be above the influence.
Okay, so that means that, you know, you're not, you when you look at a chart, it's kind of like a blueprint, but people can change.
Exactly.
Or exalt.
Exactly. Exactly. The whole idea is to exalt. The whole idea is to be above the limitation of the sign of the zodiac. But it's a tool. So if you know that you have certain issues, if you know that, like, as, let's say, as a Capricorn, you would worry a lot, or you would think too much about material, or you're gonna worry about how people see you and validate you and appreciate, you say, wait a minute, I don't need to focus on that. I need to focus more on how I can express my emotions, how I can open up. It's very, very helpful to pinpoint what you have to work on, but you're not by any ways confined or bonded, like, you doesn't have, that's what I am, it's the word. Or we can do it for children too, you know. I can't say, oh, my son is a Gemini, so he's all over the place, what can I do? I can't say that. I need to say, even though he's a Gemini and his tendency is that, I need to help him to see that focus is important. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's very important, that point. It's a great question, because it's an important point in whenever you go to anybody that speaks to you about your personality. You always need to make sure that they speak about it with the consciousness of you can change it. It's not about you're stuck with it, you know?
Well, and it points out what you need to work on, and that's sometimes half the battle, is knowing where you're blind to
parts of you. You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, do you see people who really do not want to see that? You know, some people don't want to change.
Yes,
people want to.
But I'll tell you the truth. People, when they come to me already, it's usually people that are some sort of a spiritual path. I don't get the novice people that have nothing to do with anything. So when people come to me and I ask, you know, one of the things that is very important is to ask, can I speak honestly? Can I say, are you open to hear everything that I see? And people that come here usually are interested, but did it happen to me that people weren't open? I mean, I can probably count it on one hand. I can't tell you that, like, I see it a lot, because I come from the same place of not believing things like that. So if I'm a believer, I know that anybody can be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but it's real thing.
So people are born and that's their natal chart, but
right.
Then the planets, how they're moving now, that also affects people individually based on their...
Yes, it does. And again, it gives us more work energy. So for instance, if you right now have Uranus in the sky, Uranus is in Aries right now, right? So everybody that is an Aries is affected, is pushed to change at that time, right? Uranus will affect Aries, but it will also affect Libras, because Libra is the opposite of Aries, right? So it affects them too. Uranus will affect other signs more strongly right now. If it's in a certain area in your chart, it will affect that area. So even if you're not a Libra and Aries, right? If it's in your house of marriage, it can cause changes in your marriage, even breakage of a marriage. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's a change. Uranus represents energy of change that is so aggressive that if you don't change, it breaks it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see in the chart wherever Uranus is or other planets, Pluto, it's not only where it is in the chart, it's what it, the planets that it's in contact with. It's so much information. But again, I try to use what is relevant, what is going to help transformation, and I'm trying to analyze it like that. This is the best way to give people, I think, you know, to give them tools of what they can do.
Yeah, and almost like a warning or being prepared.
Right, it's a warning is a very, like, strong word. I mean, but you're right, it's almost like a roadmap. Like, you know, Waze? So you put on Waze on the car. I mean, I know New Yorkers don't drive much, but when I have to go somewhere, I put Waze, and Waze tells me in 1 mile you get off the exit, right? So it's like, I go off the exit, I prepare myself now that there's an exit coming, right? Or if I watch the weather, I turn on the app of the weather and I'm like, tomorrow it's gonna rain, I'm gonna bring an umbrella, right? It happened to me many times that I didn't and I got soaked, right? So the thing is that's what the map, it's a roadmap, the Kabbalistic astrology chart actually is like a map. It's like a roadmap for you to know where you're going, what's coming your way, what you need to pay attention to, what you need to change, what you need to work on in the situation. That's what it is.
And so is it where your sun sign is, or I know you talked
what?
About like if a planet, is it affecting your sun sign?
Everything. It affects everything. It affects, if it has, it aspects your sun, it's a very big thing. It if it affects your Venus, it will affect your relationship. It affects, I mean, I'm being very general, but you can see your parents in the chart, you can see your home in the chart, you can see your money in the chart, you can see traveling in the chart. There's so much that you can see, and it depends on the person how they'll be affected. It depends on when they were born, what's happening in the sky, all that is going to affect in a certain way.
I think it's helpful if I know, you know, kind of what's going on. Oh, maybe I should try to find more opportunities to make money because right now, planetary, it's a good time to do that.
Right. Or to think, like, if you feel that there is an issue with money right now, there's probably an issue in the chart, and the chart will tell you, check why you have issues right now. There's something about your values that you need to check, maybe. Like, it will give you a clue of what you have to work on.
It's kind of like therapy a little bit.
Totally. I wanted to be a psychologist, so the universe somehow told me, listen, it's not exactly what you want, but I was actually literally registered to the university in Israel, but then I moved here to do the astrology and all that, but before that I was like literally about, I wanted to be a psychologist. I love that. I love that whole dealing with people and their issues and finding solutions, you know?
Well, you're kind of doing that now.
Yeah.
You just like look at the chart,
know
what's wrong with them. You don't have
totally,
to listen to them.
Totally, exactly. It's not only that I don't have to listen, I tell them what's
yeah,
wrong
exactly.
with them, you know? Like, that's what's wrong with you. So, yeah. And also, like, it's sometimes I sit with people and they'll be like, I've been in therapy for 20 years and like you just summarized my 20 years of therapy because it's all there. It's
yeah.
shockingly accurate.
It really
accurate.
Is shockingly accurate. I'm like, how do you know all this stuff? I'm like, it's in my chart.
I know. It's so weird, right?
It's really weird, but it's also kind of validating too. And
right.
I mean, I'm really into this spiritual journey
yeah.
and it's not just Kabbalah, it's a bunch of other, I'm like at a Reiki healing, I have a friend Jessica who's always on, and she does a little bit of medium stuff, but she like touched me and she's like, oh, you were a very spiritual leader in your past life, and I'm like, that's what you said too, so
wow.
It's nice to get validation
from
first
a few places, yeah,
yeah.
That actually makes it even, it makes you feel it's more real, and it's, listen, spiritually, it's nice to do it in a few places to give you some understanding. But I also personally believe that if you sit and you hear and you know inside that it's real and it's right and it registers with you, even if it's not always comfortable to hear, I believe that at the end of the day, the person knows the best the truth about themselves. So the chart will tell you. And you know, I'm gonna say whatever I see. Usually, I'm not always saying everything because sometimes there's no necessity for the person to know. But
yeah, like you're gonna be a widow in 10 years.
Exactly. Like there are things that you can see. Like I once told somebody, listen, I mean, your husband is in a very bad situation, but I knew that like it's worse than that, you know? And he did die. I mean, I don't like to predict things like that, and I don't wanna sound spooky, but and it's rare to see things like that. So people shouldn't be like, oh, do you see when I'm gonna die? No. But I'm not gonna even look. But like you don't always need, it's, you really have to make sure that you're so in tune with what's right and what's going to benefit the person and put yourself in their shoes. Not everything can you say, but I'm saying that usually, I mean, I'm pretty honest. I'm not, you know me, yeah. I'm like pretty, I don't hide much. But I think people will know that say it's true and I relate to it. Oh, sorry. I relate to it and I, and it's, you know inside when something is real, you know, it resonates with you.
Yeah, and meeting with you, you kind of are about helping. It's not so much focusing on all the great things. It's more like, how can you get better?
Right.
You know, like, what can you improve on?
I'll tell you what is good about you. I'm not gonna, I mean, you know a lot that is good about you. You have a lot of wisdom, you have a lot to share, but I'm gonna tell you, hey, you know, but you have to grab your, you know what, together and start doing something about it, you know what I mean? I'm gonna focus more the person on what I see as major important things to do.
And so you mentioned tikkums, and tikkums are based on what your issues were in a past life,
yeah,
and now they're here for you.
You come already to this life with so much load. It's like a lug. It's like, you know, when like you had lives that you did so much good too. That's why some people have better lives than others, right? Some people, and I'm not saying that people that come to be a homeless means that they were bad people, but there was an issue there in a past life. If people struggle with money, or people struggle with sex issues, or people struggle with relationships or addiction, or it's tough. Why you can be in the same family and one kid will come out a criminal and the other will be like a doctor or a policeman or something? Why? Because people come with their own load, with their own baggage from past life. And you can unfortunately see it, and sometimes it's like, listen, you're gonna have to go through some things, but at the end of the day, if you really work through the change and you really understand what you're here to do, no one is here to punish you. It's, the world is not about punishment, Margot. You have to understand that it's about learning.
Yeah.
And if I learn, I'm not gonna have to go through suffering. That's what also Kabbalah is about, you know?
Yeah. And working for the light and not having the bread of shame.
Right. It's to do, we're here to earn our ways. And it doesn't mean everybody needs to earn it the same way. Again, some kids were born and everything is taken care of. Some kids are born and they have to work from the age of 11, right? But it doesn't mean one is better, one is worse. It's every person with their process. It's very important not to judge. It's very important.
So you told me that I was here to be a messenger.
Right.
So what are other types of reasons people are here?
Oh, there are many reasons. I mean, some people come to bring love to the world, to bring compassion, to bring sensitivity to the world. Some people come to find themselves. What do I want? Because all their lives they were only pleasing others. Some people come to please other people because all their lives they were just pleasing themselves and doing things for themselves. There's so much. I mean, some people, their job is actually not to talk much, to shut up and not to like say everything. It's to keep it for themselves. I mean, some people, their jobs are to be leaders. Some people, their job are to be parents. Some people think I have to have a crazy career and I have to be a world-renowned person. And actually, no. You have to be home with your kids and be happy about it. You know what I mean? We sometimes chase things that are so not right for us. Don't make us really happy. And the chart really gives you the focus of what you can achieve or what... How can you achieve happiness? Because people can chase career, chase, and really no matter where they are, they're not going to be happy. It's not because there's a problem with how they do their work. They can be amazing workers. It's because what gives you happiness is not there. What gives you happiness is your family, spending time with your children. and vice versa. Some women, I don't know if many men do that, but they want to stay home with the kids. And no, their purpose is to get out and have a career and push themselves. You understand? Yeah. Your tendencies are not always what is good for you.
Yeah.
And like for you, if it was up to you, you're a free bird. You don't want to owe anything to anybody, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to say anything. I mean, you're a talker, you're a funny girl, and you communicate, but it's like very Sagittarius because you come from that life. So it's like very to the point, funny, short, duck. And actually, your thing is to communicate softly. And you're doing it because of your Cancer rising, but it gives you a clarity. I know things, I'm here to bring them out in a communicative way, you know?
So let's go over the signs that people are listening and they're like, oh, I want to hear more about mine.
Yeah.
So Aries, what's an Aries?
Aries, like the... we have to be very like, because there's a lot.
General.
So I'm going to be very like concentrated in the explanation. Aries, basically, it's the sign that wants to be the best and number one in everything, to express themselves, to express their talents, to express their ability. Their tikkun, what we call the correction for the Aries, is actually to say, it's not about me first. Let the other person be first. Let the other person win. It's okay. I'm not doing it to win. I'm not doing it to be seen as the best or to prove myself that I'm the best. It's not what I need. Let others be the best. And the Aries is the empower of other people if they really don't think of themselves as number one, you know? You want to go by order?
Sure.
Taurus. Look, Taurus is very about comfort zone, comfortability, even though they can work very hard, but they work within their comfort zone. They do what they're familiar with. They do what they feel safe doing. And a good way to correct that, a good way to do the tikkun, what we call in Kabbalah, is actually to do things out of my comfort zone, to push myself. Like, so if I drive somewhere and somebody is asking me, can you, you know, give me a ride or something, and I'm like, only if I'm in the way. No, I'm going to go out of my way. So to speak, and really, like, to go out of your way as a Taurus is a very important thing. And if it's something is too comfortable, and that's why it's in the same job for 20 years or the same relationship for 20 years, not to be afraid of change. Gemini, listen, it's a fun sign. They're funny, they're fun, they're light, but they're all over the place and they're lacking focus and they're pleasers, but it creates, I hope I'm not hurting you Geminis, but it creates something almost fake about them. They are never really 100% anywhere they go. Even in relationship, they're like, maybe there's a different place, maybe there's somebody else I can be with, maybe there's another job I can do, maybe, you know, and for the Gemini, the tikkun is to say, you know what? Where I am is where I need to be. And if there's any reason for me to get out of there, something will happen. It will take it out of my life. Now, I'm 100% in my marriage, 100% with my girlfriend, 100% at my job. Whatever I do is with complete focus. There's reasons for that, you know, but I can't get into it now. But that there are reasons why the Geminis are like that. They want to feel that they constantly learn, and if they get stuck in the same place and bored, they're not gonna learn. That's the thing, you know. Cancers are very, very sensitive people, but the fear is a big thing with the water signs, and they're afraid to get out of the security of the home, security of the place, like the crab, the animal that has the shell and only walks to the sides, right? Because the Cancer is afraid to go all the way everywhere there. And the tikkun, the way for the Cancer to correct it, is just to go for it, to let go of the past, to let go of things, to let go of holding on to pictures. So the next thing is much better than anything in the past. Leos are perfect. I know that. nothing to say.
Leo, the biggest thing about Leos is that they can fix everybody's life. You know, I just let them say and they'll tell you exactly what you need to do, exactly what you need to be with, exactly what you need to correct. But really the tikkun is to look inside. To look inside and say, before I fix everybody's life, let me first fix myself. All right, Leos are leaders, but there is a lot of ego of people. Look at me, see me. If you want to be king, you know, Leo is the lion, it's the king of the jungle. If you want to be king, you have to know how to be a servant. That's the correction of the Leo, you know. Virgo, listen, I have a son that is a Virgo. Beautiful people, but judgmental like hell, you know. It's like the way they judge you. Oh, to live with a Virgo is like you can never be perfect enough for them, you know. And it's very important for the Virgo to understand that when I judge others, eventually I feel judged back. So if let's say, you know, if I judge people for eating a mousse cake, right? Are they eating that they're too fat or it's unhealthy or whatever my judgment is, right? Then when I eat the mousse cake, I'm gonna be like, oh, everybody's probably looking at me and judging me the same way. That's Virgo.
Yeah.
They constantly feel judged and self-focused because, oh, people are gonna see that, oh, it's embarrassing. Oh, they, but the work is just don't judge others. If the Virgo won't judge others, including especially their spouses, but anybody that is, don't judge. Okay. The motto for the Virgo needs to be, I don't know. I don't know why they do it. I don't know why they said it. I don't know what needs to be there. I don't know why it's not perfect. I don't know. If the Virgo says it, trust me, it's gonna be, they're gonna have nicer life. Libras are real pleasers. They want everybody to be happy with them all the time. They don't want to make war. They want to be, but you know what's funny about Libra? They don't want to make war, but then when they start talking, it's for hours. Because they want balance so much, and if they feel that the balance was somehow compromised, they will fight, they will argue. The Libras are all about balance, but again, who do you think is the least balanced of all the signs? Libra. When you chase balance, you're never gonna feel balanced. But if you chase doing the right thing, not doing things for validation, not doing things so I feel like always in peace, always okay. No, if I need to speak, sometimes I need to speak. Otherwise, I'm not gonna feel ever balanced. You understand? Scorpio, listen, Scorpio, there's a lot to say about Scorpios, but Scorpios are people that definitely need to work on their innate. It's a very deep thing, but it's a very innate feeling of I'm a bad person. Scorpio, remember how you said Scorpio is the bad or something like that, and I told you about my dad? Because Scorpios inside really feel that they have to fight for everything, that it's not going to be given to them because they don't deserve it. And then they feel, I'm going to get to the point that I don't have enough and I'm going to need other people. And then they're scared of being needy. And they go also with like the extreme, with the extreme, black, white, there's no middle. You're lucky because you have also the Libra to help you balance a little, but pure Scorpios are very extremist. And the thing is that Scorpios need to understand that you're good. You're going to always have, the universe will always give you what you need. It's not always what you want though, because the Scorpios want. It's not going to be always what you want, but it's definitely what you need. So chill, calm down, relax. It's going to be okay. You don't have to control. You don't have to be scared, you know? Sagis, wow, my son is a Sagittarius, you know. My kids are teaching me a lot about, I have four children. בלי עין הרע, God bless them, and Sagittarius are very about the truth and justice and exaggeration. Everything is big, everything is exaggerating, everything is a drama. They're definitely seekers. They search, they want to learn, they want to explore. They're very justice oriented. So it's like, if they feel something is not right, oh, you're going to get a year more than the Libra, your two earfuls you're going to get from the Sag. But they're very truthful, which is a great thing, but sometimes can be hurtful, and they can be a bit, you know, insensitive. Not a bit, a lot. They have an arrogance that is very Sagittarius-y, like, I'm gonna be okay, so you know, you can say whatever you want. But I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. Sagittarius are pretty, like, they know that they're lucky, they know things work for them. But I would say, don't trust the luck, make it happen for you. Sagittarius should make luck, not, you know, expect it to happen. Capricorns are very, very young age, they know what they want to make money, they want to be successful, they want to be in business, they want to be respected, they want all that. But many times Capricorn's life, and I don't want to upset the parents of you, but Capricorn's life is a little bit like, it's not hard, but it's a little harder. They have to work a little harder. Sagittarius is everything comes easily. Capricorn, not so. But Capricorns are people that their real work is emotional. Because most Capricorns come from a past life that they were somehow abandoned, and they carry fear of abandonment to this lifetime. So they're afraid to completely open up. And actually, for the Capricorn to open up, show vulnerability, oh, I'm not gonna make a joke out of myself. Are you kidding me? No, you need to. Capricorns need to learn to laugh at themselves sometimes, to make, they always want to look like they're the best actors in the world, by the way. Why? Because they know how to show what you want to see. But it's important to remove masks for the Capricorns. Aquariuses are very airy, you know, ideas, ideals. They're great with caring for the world, but put them in a personal relationship, intimacy is a problem for them. It's hard for them to just be intimate with one person. I care for the world. Yeah, but look at your neighbor. What's the name of your neighbor? Look at your wife. Look at your child, you know? So the thing about Aquariuses is to go a little bit more grounded, to be more present, to be... You know, Aquariuses have a big I know ego. I know. I sit with Aquariuses the whole reading, it's like I know. You know? So it's like, the thing is that if Aquariuses really say, I don't know, I'm open. And I'm open to create intimate connections with people. That's how they're gonna really get much more. They're gonna be more fulfilled in their relationship too, and more successful. A lot of them can be amazing in a lot of things. They're amazing people, but the relationship area is many times a mess for them because of the intimacy issue, because of the ability to be present and there, and you know, and like 100% deep with their emotions. Talking about deep, Pisces is the deepest. It's like the ocean. Pisces emotionally are like an ocean. My daughter is a Pisces, like the way they feel. People spend, my daughter, when she was really young, I punished one of my sons to not to watch TV, right? And all the kids were watching the show and he wasn't. So she came to me all crying. I feel his pain. Can you please let him like watch with us? And I'm like, no. Like, please, I can't. I feel it in my body. And I told her, yeah, listen, you need to learn to differentiate. She was very young, but that's the tikkun of the Pisces. To learn to differentiate between what needs your compassion and movie and all that drama, and where I need to be logical, where I need to see. That's why Pisces are very confused, and that's why they tend to addiction. Because the emotion is so strong that sometimes the only way to escape it is drinking, smoking, eating, whatever the addiction, sex, whatever the addiction is. That's it about the signs.
So a lot of people had questions about kind of finding love. And like in Kabbalah, it's like you have that person, they could be your soulmate or just the person of that lifetime who's for you, right?
Yes. I'll tell you something about love, really. Anybody you can love. You can love anyone. Love is a choice and it's work. It's not an error. People think that love, what do you mean love? Is that emotion that they feel? No, it's not love. Love is like not work, hard work. Oh my God, I have to suffer. But it's work. It's things to do. It's to care for a person. It's to share with a person. You can love anyone. You know, if I speak sometimes with women, men, that have loveless marriages. And they stay. They stay because they don't want to split the family, because it's expensive to have two homes, because of a million reasons. But they don't understand that love is not, I fell out of love. No, you don't work. You don't make the love happen. Why do we love our children? Because we give them. Because we do for them. The reason why parents think, oh, I love my child because it's a part of me. Really? But talk to parents that adopt children. They don't love their children less than we do. Because the love for a person comes from giving them, from caring, from feeling responsibility to them. Love is not an emotion. The emotion is a result. Love is a practice. It's a practice. It's a practice. Kabbalah says that if you want to love somebody, give them, do for them, see the good in them. That's what will make you love somebody. So anybody can be your soulmate for that sake. Yes, I mean, astrologically, some signs are better than the others. Like water and fire, maybe it's not the best combination. Earth and air, think about it. Like fire and air can nourish each other, right? The air gives oxygen. The fire heats up and gives the air passion, right? But if you put fire on earth, what is it going to do? It's going to burn it, right? But still, I want to make sure that it's very clear that if you're married to somebody that is not a compatible sign, it does not mean that you don't belong together, that you're not soulmate. It just means that you need to work a little bit harder to understand the person.
Maybe that's part of their tikkun too.
Right? Relationships at the end of the day are a mirror of the universe. The universe is mirroring ourselves to us. Where I get angry, where I'm controlling, where I love my freedom, where I don't care, where I'm selfish. It chose me. More than anything else in your life, your spouse will show you that. Your children will show you that. The closer and more intimate it is, the more you're going to see that. You have to see it like that. And if you have complaints or you feel that you don't get enough in the marriage, you have to check, where do I really act with care? Where do I really act with sharing? Where do I really take responsibility for my partner? You know?
Do you want to get to questions?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, so my sister was born on the same day, and we are so different, but we have a lot of the same signs, and she said this is a burning question.
Let's look at your sister.
Yeah, she's right here.
Okay, 88.
And 12:30 a.m.
Okay, same place, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because we're so not similar, but we...
Oh, you're very different. Yeah. I mean, because it's like not... You don't just see the fact that you were born. The fact that you were born on the same day, listen, your son and her son are in the fourth house together, conjuncting. It's a very powerful connection. Very, very life-changing connection. Very, very powerful. But there's so much more. We look at the chart. Like her moon is in Pisces. Yours is
in
Taurus.
Oh, it is? I thought it was in Cancer. Oh, wait, her moon.
Her moon. Her moon is in Pisces. Her, the energy she comes with from past life is Virgo. You have that too a little bit, because it come from the house of Virgo, but but you're very different. You react emotionally completely different. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to go to the intimate details of like her chart, but you have to understand that your sister is a person that processes things with a lot of sensitivity inside. It's hard to see because you will say sometimes, no, I feel that opposite. I feel that sometimes she's colder and right, but it's because of a lot of guardedness. She's very guarded emotionally because of her very, very strong ability to experience pain. She has something very powerful of pain in her earlier years, and it's interestingly related to your mom somehow, but the thing is that if she can open it up and learn to, you know, to know how I feel, the whole emotional part for her is so vague and so not clear, and if she works on opening it up, she's can be amazing.
Okay, because we have the same rising sign, and we're like, why?
You're very alike in the tools. You're very alike. But, I mean, you're different people.
Yeah, we're very different.
The chart has so much to look at besides the main thing.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it isn't just, you know your signs. There's a whole
picture. Thing. That's why it's like, it's good to do a reading, you know?
Yeah,
like you need to have somebody that knows how to read so they can explain to you everything.
Yeah, do we have time for another
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Okay, so on a 9/11/83.
Okay, it's a girl or a guy?
It's a girl. Falls Church, Virginia.
9/11/83. What time?
5:13 p.m. And she had a question about getting married and
if it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Let me see. Wait, 83 you said?
Yeah, 9/11/83, 5:13 p.m.
Look, she definitely has marriage in her chart, and she definitely has children in the chart. There's definitely potential for that. But she first has to understand that she's a lot of times drawn to very strong people. She is looking for somebody very strong because somewhere inside of her, she doesn't really want to understand her own desires. You understand? So if she doesn't learn what she really wants, who she really is, and she needs to understand a man that is too strong is never going to let her learn that. She needs to find somebody that treats her with equality. You know, she has one in Scorpio. I mean, she doesn't always know how to pick the right people. Sorry, it's like moon in Scorpio, pick for the wrong reasons a lot of times. It's either sexual attraction or money or things like that. She needs to choose somebody that can really be a friend and a partner and allow her freedom and allow her to learn who she is. She has work. She has work of communication. She's too picky a lot of... I mean, there's a lot of things she has to work on. Idealistic. There's definitely... She needs to have kids. Like you can see that it's a very strong thing in her church. She can be amazing with kids. She's very special, but she's also very... nitpicky and the idealism of like it has to be somebody this. No, the most important thing for her is a person that she feels will allow her to be herself, that she's not gonna always have to be, oh, it's about what he wants, what he needs. No, what about what I need? It's a very important thing for her. So she needs to try to work on that part.
Awesome. And we have a career question.
Okay.
From someone who is, she's born in New York, 7/22/81 at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And she said like her Reiki career is taking off, but she's also a comedian and she's not...
She doesn't know what to do, which one to invest in.
Yeah, and she said that she has problems with her Saturn. I don't really know what that means, but...
Why is it a problem, Saturn-Jupiter? Saturn-Jupiter is not, it's not a big deal. It's actually... sometimes people can feel that they can't expand, like that they feel limited with their expansion. But her Saturn Jupiter in Libra, it's a good placement for Saturn. It can actually create like more order for her. Like, she's a great person, but she has like a very good mind, and she can be very successful and even very rich, tell her. Like, yeah. She can be very very well off. She's a Leo, she has like a lot of talents, but she needs to understand that her dreams are dreams, like, but she doesn't know why. Like, why do I want it? What if she has a higher purpose? Like, I want to be a comedian because I want to make people happy. I want to do Reiki because I want to be a healer. But to think about it, is this my higher purpose in life? And if it's that, she needs to be very focused on her purpose. And she needs to understand that a lot of times her tendency is to want to be the center. She's a Leo. And she needs to understand that I'm not the center. I am not even supposed to be number one. I'm supposed to be number two. So if I help people, so the comedian thing has a little bit of an issue there. Listen, I'm a Leo, I get it. I mean, Leos love stage, but she's also Aries Moon. She loves to talk, she's very funny. I see that. But she, even when she does that, even if she chooses to do that, what is the purpose there? What is the purpose? It's to make people give me love and attention? Or really, do I want to give something with the comedy? I want to give a message about, you know, equality of men and women. Or I want, whatever she needs to understand why she wants it. Because she gets a lot of what she wants. She just needs to understand the higher task, the higher purpose that she wants to live her life. She's very special. She can have amazing achievements in this life, like amazing. But if she's not clear about why, she's never going to be really fulfilled.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, and so I wish we had time for more, but you'll have to come back again.
Yeah, I'll come back again.
Super interesting. But if people want a reading with you, if they're open to hearing everything, how could they find you?
So they can contact me on my email. It's Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Kabbalah, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. @gmail.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Burning Bridges with Margo.
Burned a lot of bridges.
Every Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com.
And to donate, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. That's RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge.